Because the season of Lent begins this Wednesday with its own special set of readings from sacred scripture appropriate to that glorious season, this will be the last Sunday that we hear a passage from our Lord's famous Sermon on the Mount. Of course, you can read his entire sermon in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of St. Matthew's Gospel. Our Lord begins his Sermon on the Mount with the eight Beatitudes, the summary of the entire sermon and the heart of the whole gospel. Jesus continues his sermon by using two metaphors, salt and light. If we are poor in spirit, merciful, meek, humble, and pure of heart, if we are peacemakers, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, if we mourn our sins and are persecuted for the sake of Christ, then we will indeed be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If you truly live the Beatitudes, you will be salt and light for your spouse, for your children, for our parishes and community. The very next thing that Jesus says seems to anticipate a question many people might have been asking in their hearts. These Beatitudes seem brand new. Some people listening to Jesus might think that living the Beatitudes and being salt and light for the world means rejecting and abandoning the Old Testament law. Jesus anticipates their questions and says, I don't think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets, meaning the whole Old Testament. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets, the whole Old Testament. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. The Beatitudes are a fulfillment of the law, going deeper into the law, not a rejection of the Old Testament. In today's part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us three examples. He refers to the Ten Commandments, specifically Commandments 5, 6, and 8. Commandment 5 is murder. Commandment 6 is adultery. Commandment 8 is lying, bearing false witness against our neighbor. Of course, Jesus affirms that murder, adultery, and lying under oath are sins. But he wants us to go deeper. Let's take a look. Yes, of course, we shouldn't murder anyone. But Jesus says, are you angry with your brother?
That's
more difficult. Do you hold your brother in contempt? Do you slander your brother and call him names? Do you call him raka? Which is Aramaic for imbecile or brainless idiot. That's not a compliment. There's a tone of arrogance or contempt here. Do you call your brother a fool? Moros, that's even stronger. Calling him a fool isn't to criticize his mental ability. To call him a fool is to judge the state of his soul. To call him a fool means that he is an absolutely immoral person who has lost all religious sense and abandoned God.
Wow, that's tough.
How about number two? Well, yes, of course, we shouldn't commit adultery, but do you have lustful thoughts?
That's more difficult. Do you have other sins of impurity? That's tough.
In the New Covenant, even personal lust and interior thoughts of impurity are forbidden, even if the exterior act of adultery is not committed. For Jesus says, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. How about number three? Well, yes, of course you shouldn't lie, but do you want to lie? Do you have a desire to intentionally lie?
That's more difficult.
You see, if a Jew swore an oath with God's name. That was an absolutely binding oath. But the Jews got around this by saying, well, but if I swear by heaven, if I swear by earth, if I swear by Jerusalem, if I swear by my head, I'm not bound by the oath. And Jesus says, oh, come on, you guys. That's really the same thing. If you swear by heaven, that's God's throne. If you swear by earth, it's his footstool. If you swear by Jerusalem, it's his holy city. These are so closely associated with God that swearing by them is just like swearing by God's name. The point is, some people were trying to get out of telling the truth. But God doesn't want people to tell the truth only when they're under oath. When do we take an oath? Well, in court, right? Put your hand on the Bible, raise your right hand, swear to tell the truth. When I became pastor, I took an oath right here on the altar, on the Bible. Before you get married, you take an oath. An engaged man and woman have to swear an oath before they get married, testifying with God as their witness that they are free to marry and that there are no roadblocks to their marriage. So, are these the only times in your life where you have to be truthful? If you're not under oath, can you lie? Well, of course not. Jesus wants us to tell the truth all the time. Jesus says, tell the truth all the time. Say yes when you mean yes, and no when you mean no. It seems clear to me that for Jesus, he's not only concerned about external actions, but also about interior attitudes. Some people find it difficult to go to confession because they say, well, gosh, I can't think of anything to confess. I didn't commit murder. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't lie under oath. And I say, great, excellent. Thanks be to God you didn't commit any of these sins. But what are you thinking? What's in your thoughts? What's in your heart? In the Confiteor at the beginning of Mass, we pray, I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words and what I have done and what I have failed to do. I have sinned in my thoughts. Ooh, that's more challenging. You see, thoughts give birth to action. Murder is the fruit of hating our brother in our heart. Adultery is the fruit of entertaining thoughts of lust in our heart. Lying is a fruit of a deceptive heart. Jesus doesn't come to abolish the law, but to bring it to fulfillment. He doesn't take away the law about the evils of murder, adultery, divorce, or lying under oath. Jesus expects more of us. Of course Jesus wants us to avoid murder, but he also wants us to avoid interior attitudes that would lead to murder, anger, hatred, contempt. Of course Jesus wants us to avoid adultery, but he wants us to avoid interior attitudes that would lead to adultery, like lust and impurity. Of course Jesus wants us to avoid bearing false witness under oath, but he also wants us to avoid lying altogether. Jesus is not only concerned about external actions, but also about interior attitudes. What are you thinking? What's in your heart? Do you love or hate? Are you pure or lustful? Truthful or deceptive? What's in your heart? I can only change my interior attitudes by the grace of God, especially the graces we receive in the sacrament of penance and in Holy Communion. Then we can change our mind and our heart. One prayer that has helped me to change my thoughts is called the permission prayer. We pray this little permission prayer that through the power of Jesus' holy word, through the power of his holy name, through the power of his most sacred heart, through the power of his most precious blood, through the power of his passion and death, through the power of his five wounds, through the power of his resurrection, through the power of the most holy Eucharist, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of our Blessed Mother, through the power of all the angels and saints, I give myself permission to think new thoughts and to feel new feelings.
That is a powerful prayer. Through all of those powerful names of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, His Blessed Mother, and all the angels and saints, wow, we can get the power, the grace, to change our thoughts, to feel new feelings. It is possible through the grace of God. When I change my thoughts for the better, my actions start to change for the better. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord and keep it with all their heart.